This is Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities, taking a look at the wheat complex for the week ending January 22nd. Well, grain markets had quite a wipeout today. It was mostly on Friday that we saw the pressure. You know, the week itself was struggled to really maintain some upward momentum. We had a nice close last Friday, and then Monday you come in and a little shaky, just kind of an inside day, and then you dropped a little bit on Tuesday, we dropped a little bit. Wednesday, Thursday, the markets were trying to work their way sideways, and then Friday, it just got the rug pulled out from under it, and it was all the grains. We had some rains forecast for Argentina that started the pressure in corn and beans with wheat. Of course, it's going to feel some of that pressure from corn in particular, but also the soy complex. But with wheat, Russia had been hinting all week that they might impose a quota in addition to the higher export tariff of 50 euros per ton. There was some chatter that they may actually also impose a quota, and that really did not materialize. They decided not to do that. So, you know, the wheat market had been kind of gearing up for that, and that kind of took some of the wind out of the sail as well. Then you start this selling process, and the hedge funds, which had been getting longer and longer in this market, they start pitching positions, and it kind of turned into a bloodbath with corn touching limit down briefly, down the 25-cent limit, which ironically took it right to those old highs, which is a pretty significant support level. Buying stepped up a little bit, but it still only closed about a penny off of limit down, so it wasn't like they all came swarming into the market. Same thing with soybeans. You were down about 60 on the day, which is a pretty big wipeout for beans. I mean, obviously they had rallied the most, had the most to lose, and they did. But still, it's a pretty healthy break. And then wheat, of course, again, getting most of its pressure on Friday, where it had been trying to hold together for most of the week. So for the week, Kansas City was down 30, Minneapolis down 31, Chicago was down 41, corn down 31, soybeans down 105. A couple things there, of course, Chicago leading the way down. So Kansas City gained 11 cents on the front month against Chicago. So we see that spread just every day, it moving higher, 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 2 cents, 3 cents, 4 cents in a day. And just in this week, it gained 11 cents. So clearly, Kansas City is on a mission, and we're pretty close to getting premium again against Chicago. And I think that is definitely in the cards. I think just as time goes by, it's just going to be a steady climb with that spread. It's already moved about 60-some cents since last fall, and I think it's got a lot more to go. It could easily go another 60 cents. With the shortfall in hard red winter wheat supplies here around the world, the demand holding strong, Russia shutting off their exports, all kinds of reasons to think that Kansas City certainly has a lot more energy left, a lot more gas in the tank, if you will, against Chicago. Minneapolis, of course, had gone discount to Chicago, which is highly unusual, but it struggled to regain some momentum there too, and it still is sitting discount to Chicago, but it's well off its lows as well. I think there's a spread. If you miss the KC spread, look at the Minneapolis spread against Chicago, because that, I think, is getting teed up for the next big run. With corn and beans still sitting at pretty decent levels, even with the break that they saw this week, we don't expect that that's going to last very long. The end user has been a buyer on these breaks. They kind of sat on the sidelines seeing how deep it would get this week, but I would imagine they're going to step up here. That there's going to be that the farmer here in the United States, which is where the next big planting season comes for corn and soybeans, I think they're going to be planting fence row to fence row, and it's just a matter of if they plant corn or beans. And as you look across the Dakotas, they can easily switch to corn or beans, even in the far western reaches of North Dakota. So I think spring wheat is going to get caught in the crossfire here with the battle over corn and soybeans. And that goes primarily eastern North Dakota and western Minnesota. It stretches into South Dakota. But I think as you get into, you know, right about central North Dakota is the cutoff with beans in particular, but I see that stretching west, and I think Minneapolis is going to be the loser. So, as far as acres go, so price-wise, you know, it's unless you get some stellar weather, you're looking at a fairly big drop in spring wheat production on the way, I think. And that comes when soft red wheat plantings were higher last fall. Moisture conditions are pretty good across most of the southern Midwest and the Delta region. So I don't see any, at least at this point, any weather issues. But I certainly do for hard red winter wheat, and I certainly see the potential for hard red spring wheat. So those are the things to look for still to come as far as the spread action in the wheat space. Otherwise, corn and soybeans, of course, getting a pretty big break this week. And, you know, if you have improving weather conditions in Argentina, that's great. But I still think you're looking at a short crop there. And also on that, with this break in prices here in the United States, it's going to stoke some demand coming back over here. We, frankly, you know, how are we going to fill that? Already, export sales are running way ahead of where USDA would have them be for this time of year. For instance, in soybeans, we've already sold 95% of USDA's projections. Normally, by this time of year, we've only sold 75%. So we're way ahead of the pace needed to meet USDA's projections. And in fact, China, well, export sales this week for soybeans were 2.6 million tons. That's double the high end of the range of estimates. And China took a big chunk of that, 1.2 million outright, and there's another 450,000 that are in unknown. So soybeans already, we're already well ahead of the pace, and we just continue to sell it like crazy. How are ending stocks ever going to, where are we going to end up with ending stocks? Unless USDA kind of comes clean with how much we've sold and what these ending stocks are actually going to be. And, you know, that's not accounting for what's being sold out of Brazil and Argentina. That's just here in the United States. And again, you know, we're already at very tight ending stocks. And with the export pace the way it is, clearly they have to make more adjustments. Now, that could come in the February supply-demand report, and that would be a pretty bullish report. But the same thing is going on in corn, where we got export sales this week at 1.5 million tons. That, too, was above the high end of the range. It wasn't double like soybeans, but it was higher. And so far, we've sold 72% of USDA's projections. Normally, by this time of year, we've only sold 56%. So there, too, in corn, we're way ahead of where we normally are as far as sales. Ending stocks at 1.5 billion bushels is barely in a comfortable position. So there too, USDA probably has some adjustments to make in the export market, in the export estimate, and therefore the ending stocks estimate. With wheat, our export sales year to date are at 21.5 million tons. That's up 6% on the year. We've sold 80% of the estimate, and normally we're 82%. So that's the only one where we're actually behind a little bit. And that's just developed in the last few weeks. Normally, almost the whole marketing year, we've been ahead of the pace needed to meet USDA's projections. So we've had a few slow weeks as far as sales. I'm sure a lot of that is price. But with world prices moving higher, that's made us competitive. And after today, it makes us really competitive in the rest of the world. So I would imagine you're going to see buyer step up on this break. Probably see Egypt first thing next week, as they canceled a tender last week because prices were too high. Well, obviously we're cheaper now. I would imagine that they would show back up in the market. So the bottom line is we've got wheat, corn, soybeans all in very strong uptrending markets. We've got a significant correction going on here, but we have not ended the bull market. We've not rationed demand. In fact, on this break, we're actually stoking demand. That sets us up for some really tight supply situations down the road. And it's a long time till harvest. Granted, you're going to have harvest in South America, but they're looking at shorter crops. And I don't see that being a deal breaker in the corn or the soybean market. And certainly for wheat, you know, Russia's out of the picture. Ukraine's pretty much out of the picture. Europe is out of the picture. Argentina's out of the picture. Australia's still moving some, but they've got soft wheat. It's not hard wheat. And that leaves the United States and Canada. doors are wide open for U.S. exports, and the demand is going to shift over to the U.S., obviously for winter wheat. It's the only place to get it. And spring wheat, that's going to be the U.S. and Canada. And we're going to work in tandem. You know, prices will rally in tandem with each other. So I just think that, yeah, we're getting a correction here, but there's still upside potential. Stocks are tight. Demand is huge. Feed grain supplies are record high around the world. That's going to pull more wheat into the feed rations, further cutting into world wheat supplies. China this week, you know, every week they offer wheat from their government stocks into the domestic market. And for years, nobody's ever bought any, just minuscule amounts after they'll offer 2 or 3 million tons. This week, they bought everything. And this is wheat that's been in storage for good 5-6 years. The quality's always terrible. They bought everything. So it's most likely going to feed wheat, but that's kind of beside the point. You know, China is selling wheat and they're buying everything that the government is selling when normally they can't hardly sell any. So I think that just speaks to what's going on in major players around the world, whether it's consumers or whether it's the sellers. Supplies are tightening quickly. Demand is strong. And I just think, yeah, we're getting a correction here, but this is not the end of the road for the bull market in any of the grains. So just, you know, keep your powder dry. I think there's still more upside coming. And especially as we get into the growing season, I think the sparks are going to fly because you just cannot afford a weather problem. Otherwise, it's you know, going to blow the roof off this market. If you have any questions or comments, feel free to call 1-800-888-9843. This has been Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities.